I want to introduce to you John. Do you want to come up, John? So in the 11 a.m. service, we have a time on the couch, so John's got that to look forward to. But I'm just going to ask him, I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Awesome.
And then my daughter will grill you later. So who are you, and what is Baptist World Aid in 200 words or less?
200 words or less, okay. Okay, so my name is John. I'm actually a registered pastor. I was a pastor at Riverlife Church for some time. A jeweller, a watchmaker, a clockmaker. I've done retail for a long time. Used to be the cupbearer for the Melbourne Cup. And now I work for Baptist World Aid.
An obvious transition.
Yeah, a huge transition. But now I love Baptist World Aid, international aid organisation, so I represent them here in Queensland with all the churches, and occasionally get to visit projects overseas as well. Is that 200 words?
That'll be good.
That'll be good.
What's something you've done in your life that you're proud of?
Something that I've been really proud of in my life. Okay, look, I think it would have to be my children. My three kids, just bringing them up. Facing the challenges of parenthood, getting through the other side. Maybe they're all grown up now, walking with the Lord, even become a grandfather just recently, 18 months. And so that's what I'm really proud of. It's that generational blessing. Yeah.
And one last question. What is your favourite Bible verse, and why is it Micah 6:8?
In case you didn't know what my favourite verse was, look, it is Micah 6:8, and I'll talk a little bit into that again at those services today. It's just simply about walking humbly with your God, you know, what is mercy and doing justice. And I guess that's what Baptist World Aid is all about too, justice and having a voice for those that don't have a voice.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here this morning. And can I just say a big thank you to the worship team, not only for amazing worship, but even just your choice of songs this morning. You know, I was thinking when we sang The Sun Came Up this morning, I had my life group from Brisbane actually come up and stay with me for the weekend. I actually live down in Little Mountain, so I'm up here in paradise with you guys. And I was just thinking this morning, we were just praying actually before I came up here, and just the stillness, the beauty of creation outside, this incredible world that God has given us. And as I was driving here, I was just thinking of the sun rising all over the world, in different places, in different villages, in different nations, as we just sang about. And God is actually everywhere, and he's at work and doing amazing things. And but look, thanks for having me along this morning. And this is actually a little bit of a favourite church with me, because I meet up every now and then with Donnie, and I've really got to know Donnie, and I hear his heart just for the local community, for the chaplaincy work. And I just want to say thank you so much for having me back here, because I was here about 12 months ago. We're all struggling through COVID. And as we know, the last 18 months has been a really tough time, and it has changed the world. As I mentioned earlier, with my mic turned off when you couldn't hear me too much, I've been working for Baptist World Aid for a little time, and have had an incredible privilege also of doing missions around the world over probably the last 20, 25 years in all different organisations. But obviously the last 18 months is something that we have never seen before, and it's really flipped the world upside down. There's no doubt about it. And we want to thank you, Baptist World Aid, for your generosity in prayer and just standing with us over the many years. And I believe at the moment you have a bit of a project with the kids, the pig project, and raising money for community development projects and supporting us that way too, and we'll speak into that a little bit more. You probably noticed we ended up with a little caption, A Better World for All. And at Baptist World Aid, we've actually for so long, our main focus has to actually break the poverty cycle. And some of you sitting here today might go, well, how could you do that? But percentage-wise, with what we were doing before COVID hit, the poverty cycle was actually being broken internationally. But unfortunately, with COVID coming on board, it's taken a complete reverse. And so the need is just so massive out there at the moment. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I also want to go through a couple of things and explain Baptist World Aid, assuming that you know nothing. That's probably always a good way to begin, just to give you an understanding of the scope with what we do. Baptist World Aid actually this month is doing what we're calling matching grant, as we saw in that little video. And we saw a story of a lady by the name of Pompilla. Pompilla was in absolute crisis at the beginning of COVID. We have Christian partners over on the ground at Bangladesh that actually helped her, her family, her husband, even the working conditions in her husband's factory, taught them agricultural skills and all those different things that go hand in hand. One of the biggest things for Pompilla was also hygiene and how to look after herself and her family and her community. And as I said, a better world for all is what we aim for. And this month with matching grants, every donation that is made, the government actually matches it up to 10 times, which is an incredible, generous support from our Australian government. And it's not a political statement, but we just want to thank them for the support, what they do for international aid. Currently, we are working in about 122 countries around the world, which is quite an astonishing number, and we have 32 Christian partners that we work with on the ground. But I just want to leave you this verse here, Isaiah 43:19. It says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing now." And that actually came up in some of the scripture choruses we were singing about. "Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way into the wilderness and the rivers in the desert." And I guess a lot of the places like where Pompilla lives, that's exactly what this verse is talking about. God makes ways to actually bring life into those dark places. As I mentioned, I want to just start off assuming you know very little about Baptist World Aid. And one of the staggering things that when I started working for them only 18 months ago, I was quite taken away to actually learn that Australian Baptist World Aid was the largest Baptist World Aid agency in the whole world. And we're actually having incredible influence with the project management and what we do and the model that we have with many other large Baptist organisations around the world. And so we would love you to continue to pray for what we're doing, because we're actually having a huge impact on a global point of view. But a lot of people don't realise that we actually also do work with refugees. It's not just project management. So we do a lot of work at the moment with in Lebanon with the Syrian crisis. And the need there is just incredibly great, because it's a country where has been ravaged by war, the pain of losing loved ones. The biggest target, I guess you could say, is the women and children, and they are the most vulnerable. Many of those have lost their husbands or their partners. A lot of children have lost their mothers as well, and it's the children that are the most vulnerable. And these children are obviously ended up in forced into the sex industry or into slave labour and completely displaced. And so this is where we come in and try to give them protection, security, where we give them hygiene, where we give them all sorts of education and protection. The biggest need that we have too in that particular process is to try and reunite them with also family, if family is still around. We're working with the Myanmar people, and we've been seeing this on the news for a long time, where that country's been in great pain as well and suffering. And we don't really know the extent of how many people lose their lives, but we keep hearing more and more about it each day. Disaster relief. We focus on disaster relief around the world. And again, I'll do a flashback to Lebanon, like when there was a large explosion in Beirut. Baptist World Aid was one of the first ones on the ground, because we were already working with our local Christian partners there. COVID relief. Some of you may know that as part of our emergency relief program that we do, is we've been working with countries that are our neighbours close by as much as we can. So we just put an appeal just recently out to New Guinea, and it was amazing because there's three Baptist hospitals up there. Some of you might have heard of the Tinsley Baptist Hospital. Over 40,000 people are actually being looked after there, and they just had no supplies. And so we were managed to go in and give relief there. And just recently, we stepped up our campaign, obviously, with India, and also in Nepal. That's where we have Christian partners on the ground. And why I mention those particular countries is that that's where we actually partner with these Christian organisations. They're people that have been tried and tested and true as far as their integrity, and we go to great lengths to make sure that we're partnering with the right people with the same theological aims as or vision and mission as we have, and we build up these incredible long-lasting partnership to make sure things are done well. Community development projects, we run these in Bangladesh, Philippines, Cambodia, Nepal, quite a few programs in Africa, and I'll talk into that in a moment with some PowerPoints on how that works, because that's where the child sponsorship is also tied in. And I just love the way we do it because it's a really big holistic process. The other thing we do too is some people will ask about Australia, or what does Baptist World Aid do here in Australia for our own backyard? We see mission as important wherever we are, in our workplace, in our backyard, with our family, with our neighbours, with our communities. And even I know with Donnie and what he does with the chaplaincy work, the importance to get out there and be hands and feet for Jesus is the most incredible thing that we can all do. So we have what we call Catalyst, and it's a advocacy wing that we run here, and we run with all the local churches here in Australia, where we teach people how to actually evangelise in local communities, but more than that, to actually speak up and have a voice for those who are vulnerable, who don't have a voice. And we even teach our churches how to write to local parliamentarians and get involved with local projects to actually have a high impact here. And the list goes on. And some of the things you'll be familiar with, we do, you know, big-hearted gifts and things like that. And I've got those here today, and come talk to me about that later. But it's so easy to get caught up in what's happening around us at the moment too, with the pain that I guess the world is suffering. But I want us to step back and look at a few pieces of scripture, and as Nat mentioned, my favourite Bible verse, we'll explore that a little bit more in a moment. But I want to just go Matthew's Gospel. It simply says this, and we know this verse back to front. We all learned it probably in kids' church when we were young. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And you probably think, well, what is that? And the verse goes on to further say, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will look after itself. And sometimes that's hard for us to understand when we flick on the news and we watch what's going on out there. And I guess the question is, do we believe God's got it all under control? Well, I do believe that he does, and he's got the bigger picture. I was talking to somebody this morning when I walked in about gratitude and having a thankful heart. And Graham Cook, I don't know if you know Graham Cook, the author, he actually talks about gratitude as being the bedrock of our life and worship. Now, gratitude is a funny little word, and I wondered what it meant myself. So most people, as you do, you go and grab a dictionary, you do a little bit of research. And the simple dictionary definition of the word gratitude is the quality of being thankful. It's a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. And I can't think of a better time now to return kindness, to give thanks, to be ready, to be proactive, and to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. And as I said, the definition of our neighbour could be the person next door, it could be somebody overseas. In Mark's Gospel, we also read, and we know this one well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all of your strength. And the second is this, to love your neighbour as yourself. There is no greater commandment than this. God has so many amazing plans. And as a child, I remember growing up, And one of my other favourite verses was Ecclesiastes 3:11. And I used to soak on this and ponder, what does it really mean? And it simply says this: He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Right? He has set eternity in the human heart. And I used to ponder that. I used to think, well, what does that look like? But it goes further to say, yet nobody can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And what that actually states there, what it actually says, is that there is a master plan. He's planned everything from beginning to end. And I don't know if you realise this, but we're part of that plan. And we all have a really important part to play in God's bigger picture. SBS. Some of us might watch the SBS news. I know for a fact that if I'm shopping an Aldi up here, I have to go at 10 to 6 because the place empties. Everybody over 50 years of age heads off to watch the news. It's the perfect time to go shopping up here. So some of you might know what I mean. But SBS used to use this caption, and it used to say 7.3 billion stories to be told. Now, that was a couple of years ago. Now our population is around about 7.8 billion. Every story is special. Every story is unique. Every story is real. And every story is actually lovingly watched around the world by our Heavenly Father. And there's a special plan for each and every one of those stories. Now, it doesn't matter what country, what race, He has a plan. And that just leads into Micah 6:8, and I'll just pull that apart a little bit, then we'll do a little PowerPoint about what a community development looks like. But I'll read the full verse. Micah 6:8 says this: He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And I love this because it's actually one of the most simplest formulas that you'll read in the Bible. There's three very simple steps. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, a dear friend of mine passed away around about 20 months ago, and he was too young to go home to Jesus. We thought that he's there and just celebrating there now. And his wife came to me and said, you must use this verse in the message. And I knew the verse, but I didn't know the verse. All right? I knew the verse, but I didn't know the verse. And nor did I know when I was going to work for Baptist World Aid that this is actually one of the main verses that we pin our whole mission and value around. And I really studied it hard, and you know, and I thought, well, what does it really mean to do justice? What does it mean to do mercy? And we all sort of know what it means to walk humbly with our God, but I guess the challenge is, you know, do we? Are we? So walking humbly with your God is the basis for loving mercy and doing justice. Because of what God has done, we actually fully invest in healing the world around us through mercy and justice. Cultivating our walk with God provides the power and the passion for us to fully engage. It actually grounds us in everything that we do. Loving mercy. All right, God actually tells us, or God desires for us to love mercy. Or in some translations it says kindness. And this is a Hebrew word, hes, which can be used to refer to God's loving kindness for us. And it is interesting to note that God actually wants us to be drawn to mercy, having compassion for those in need. And this is not always easy, as I mentioned earlier, because we're bombarded with the pain on the news at night, in society, and what we see. And sometimes it's really hard for our hearts to become hardened. I know sometimes you see it so much you just switch off and you forget what's really happening. Now, doing justice, and I'm going to talk to the kids about it later, you know, what does it really mean to do justice? Some of you might be sitting here this morning going, well, what does it look like? How did I do justice this week? Or maybe you turned on the news and you actually saw a sentence, somebody actually, a judge actually giving justice and, you know, making a decision. You might think that you don't need to do it because somebody else does it for you. But doing justice is actually so simple. It's just simply doing right by your fellow man. Right? It's just doing right. Doing right by your neighbour, by somebody in your family, by somebody at school, somebody in your workplace. And we can do justice all day long. It's just simply doing right. And at Baptist World Aid, our definition of doing justice is to create a world where all people, not just a few, it's a bit like the SBS caption, it's all inclusive, where all people have equal opportunity to fully develop the gifts that God has placed within them. Doing justice is also developmental, meaning that we do not simply give things away to meet a need, but we also help people help themselves. That's very important. To replicate, to reproduce, to actually sow into other people and other communities. Using a well-known fishing metaphor, and we've probably all heard this, we do not just give people fish, we actually teach them how to do it, how to go fishing. And in our daily lives, we all have the opportunity to do justice with our actions that help people help themselves. And this, we are creating an environment where people can thrive, where they can achieve, and do exactly what God intended them to do to their full potential. I might just get the PowerPoint popped up there. That would be awesome. I did have a clicker. I don't know what I did with it. Was there a clicker left on the seat there? You know, sometimes I do get forgetful. Thank you so much. I just want to end with a little bit about how community development works. And it is something I often talk about. Look, I'm very passionate about it because I've been sponsoring children now with Baptist World Aid for 41 years. And if you don't sponsor a child, that's okay, but I'd encourage you to contemplate it. Because I have these little pictures that sit on my fridge. I've actually gone into countries and visited the children that I sponsor. And I talk about gratitude and I go, you know what, it's absolutely amazing. When you meet these kids on the other side of the world who have nothing, to see their thankfulness, to see their love for Jesus, to see their smiling faces. They have no idea of the world that I live in, but their thankfulness is just overwhelming. And I tell you what, it's incredibly humbling. If we have a greatest need right now, it is child sponsorship. And that's due to the COVID pandemic because nobody can or have not been able to get into churches lately. We normally have something like over 1,000 children sponsored every year, and that's actually dropped down to about 200 here in Australia because we haven't been able to get out. So it is a struggle. And why the importance to sponsor a child? Because you're not just sponsoring a child. I want to make that very clear. And this is one of the things I love about our program and how we do it. So when you sponsor a child, I'll just flick through these. This should work, I hope. There we go. I visited Cambodia, believe it or not, just before COVID hit. I was very lucky back in February last year. And when you go into a village that we work with one of our Christian partners where the kids are sponsored, one of the first things we do is we actually go and we meet the kids on the program. So when you sponsor a child, it's a 9-year process. All the kids in a village are actually sponsored. We make sure of that. That's incredibly important. Now, not all the funding goes directly to those children. 70% roughly goes to the children itself, the kids themselves. Those kids are actually then put in what we call a kids club. And those kids clubs are actually run and operated by a local evangelical church. Because a lot of people ask me straight up, well, where's the gospel? Do you put a Bible in their hand? Do you teach them memory verses? And the answer is no, we don't. What we do is we empower the local church to do that because that's the contact point in context, right, in their language, doing things the way that they would understand. And no, not all the kids become Christians, a bit like all the kids in our community don't become Christians. But in these kids clubs, we intentionally teach them leadership skills. We teach them hygiene. We teach them actually even how to do agriculture, even though they've been doing it all their life, but how to take it that one step further. With that, how to do microfinancing and set up their own businesses. Now, why do we do that with the kids? Because they are the future leaders who will keep the process going and break that cycle of poverty. Very important. I'll just go on to the next one there. So obviously, it gives them food security, it gives them health security, and it actually starts to give them some identity as well. It gives them a purpose and something to live for. I just want to tell you about this lady here. I don't know her name. Let's just call her Maria, right? We'll call her Maria today. So I met her. So Maria, actually, her three children were actually on the sponsorship program. And like I said before, 70% goes directly into supporting the children. The other 30% goes into actually supporting the mother's, father's training and the whole village. So not only are we teaching the kids, but we did the same with Maria. And I want to just hold up the little pig picture here, because I know you kids here, that's what you've been supporting as a project. And this is what it actually goes to. So Maria wanted to show us her vegetable patch, where she was getting helped by Baptist World Aid partners on the ground and actually growing her crops beyond what she was doing before. From that, she was taught again how to run business and take it down to the market. From that, she actually had enough money to buy some chickens. From that, it went to pigs. All right. From the pigs, it actually then went to the cattle that you see there on the right. Now, if you have one cow in Cambodia, you're very well off. But through this program and Baptist World Aid support, she managed to generate 15. Only 15. Fantastic. She was then so proud to show me her house. Now, that might look a bit of a shack to us. I was really remiss. I didn't take a picture of her old house. Her old house was actually... I think my children's cubby house in my backyard was actually better than their old house. And these are some of the kids of hers that were on the sponsorship program. And she was just so proud of what she had learnt and what she was doing. And why we do a 9-year cycle as well is because we believe that it's got a use-by date. And when I say use-by date is because if we just keep doing it, that village is not going to actually learn to do it themselves. And one of the things is about the kids club, most of those kids, when you meet them, the maturity and who they are, it's amazing. And a lot of them, when they come to the end of their cycle and they graduate, they don't want to actually go on to university. Most of them stay to become community leaders or go into the next village to actually reproduce or replicate what they've been taught. So that's how the child sponsorship works. Obviously, there's big-hearted gifts. I've got those, and all those go directly into these community development projects. And obviously, there's a matching grant. So that is pretty much all I would like to say this morning. But I love the heart of this church. I just love the missional process and things that you have on your heart for community. And I want to thank Nat. He's been wonderful just supporting me getting ready for today. But look, after the service, if you want to find out more, sponsor a child or buy a card, just come and see me. But again, I just will close in prayer now, but I just want to thank you not just for generosity with giving. What we really want from all of you is standing with us yearly just in prayer. I think I said the greatest need is child sponsorship. Yeah, that's true. But I think the greatest thing is to know how to, with wisdom, discern how and what projects to pick, because the need is so great. So thanks for standing us with us in prayer. Thanks, Nat, for having me along. I might just close in prayer, or yep, thumbs up. Awesome. So let's just bow our heads and give thanks to our amazing Father, hey? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that you're a God who not only just loves us, you show mercy, you teach us so many things, And you have a plan, as we spoke about in Ecclesiastes. I mean, you've got a plan from beginning to end, and nobody can actually fathom what that is and your goodness and your greatness. Lord, I just particularly just want to pray for this church. I want to thank you for the heartbeat that is so huge for our local community and for those abroad. And Lord, we all have a part to play. And every seed that is planted, somebody else often will water, somebody else will harvest it. Somebody else may reap the rewards for things that we have done generations ago. So Lord, I just pray a blessing on this church, this community. And we pray for the nations. We pray against this COVID that has caused so much pain and havoc. We pray against poverty. We pray that that cycle will be broken. We pray for those children around the world who are in the most vulnerable positions where they have lost their mums or dads, that they might be saved from going into slavery or whatever that looks like. And Lord, most of all, where Baptist World Aid and the other missional organisations that are represented in this church that are all around the world, we pray most of all that people will hear the good news of you, of your love, and come to know you. And we just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.